Good morning. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. While you're turning there, I'll let you know if Pastor continues to recover. He texted yesterday, said he's still pretty foggy from the anesthesia, and the doctor had advised him to stay in for the weekend. So we'll continue to keep him and Janet in our prayers. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Before we begin, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together as a people, Lord, to read thy word. Lord, I pray you'd be pleased as we've gathered here this morning that you'd be pleased to be among us. Lord, that you'd be pleased to bless your word. Lord, make the word effectual to our hearts. Lord, let us see Christ. Lord, for those of our number who are in a time of difficulty, Lord, we pray that you bless and be with your people. Lord, we think especially of our pastor, Lord, that you would strengthen him in the days and weeks to come. Lord, bless him. Lord, be thy will, heal him. Restore him to health. Now again, be with us in this hour. Lord, bless us. Bless our children, these young ones, these many young ones you've given us. Lord, protect and keep them. Lord, above all, reveal thy Son to them. Reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4, verse 32 will serve as our text. But let's start in verse 31. Here we read, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Verse 32. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." I'll tell you this morning as we go through this message, it's for me. It is for me. But I hope we can all listen in. Be ye kind, not harsh, not bitter, but kind and gracious. Be pleasant one to another. Tenderhearted. To be tenderhearted is to be compassionate. It's to be sympathetic. Forgiving one another. As God. Listen to these three words. For Christ's sake. Huh? Now I know we hear those three words often. Not in this context. We hear them at work. We hear them when people are upset. Often in blasphemy. But listen to them in light of God's word. Forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How has he forgiven his people? He's forgiven us freely. We've done absolutely nothing to deserve His forgiveness. We've not earned it. We've not merited it. We've not deserved it. He's forgiven us freely. He's forgiven us fully. Huh? Complete and total forgiveness in Him. He's forgiven us, not temporarily, not until we do something wrong again. He's forgiven us forever. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing what God has done for His people for Christ's sake? Not for man's works. No. Our best works, listen, are filthy rags in the sight of Almighty God. Not for man's righteousness. What's the Scripture say? There's none righteous. No, not one. He's forgiven us for Christ's sake. He's forgiven us for the sake of another. He loved us. Think about it. The Lord Jesus Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. We're saved. His people are saved. His people are forgiven. Our sins put away by His blood, by His righteousness, by His grace. And we're instructed. And this is good instruction in this passage of Scripture, to be kind, to be tenderhearted, to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. And you know, this is pretty specific, isn't it? Listen to what it says here. He says, as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Who's He talking to there? He's talking to every one of us, isn't He? Huh? Everyone He's been pleased to save. Every one of His children. You know, I've often wondered if a person truly deserved forgiveness unless they asked for it. But you know, if that was the case, it would make forgiveness conditional on me, wouldn't it? If I had to ask for it, it would be conditioned on something I was doing. One of the old writers said this. He said, to forgive and forget the offense and not bring it up hereafter, to forgive them before they repent and without asking. Why? How? Three words. For Christ's sake. Consider what our Lord endured at the cross. He was scourged. He was beaten. False witnesses spoke. He was mocked. He was spat upon. That crown of thorns was thrust down on His head. He was nailed to the cross. He was crucified. Men said things like this, if thou be the Christ. They questioned Him. They questioned who He was. Let me ask you, is there any record that anyone that day asked for forgiveness? Yet our Lord, in the midst of all this, in the midst of being hung on the cross, in the midst of being crucified, as they were casting lots and parting His garments over who got to keep what, He spoke these words to His Father. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Peter must have struggled with this. He went to the Lord. In Matthew 18, 21, it says, Peter came to him and he said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? That seems like a reasonable question, doesn't it? Seven times? Is that enough? Is that sufficient? If he crosses me seven times, can I be done with him then? And what did our Lord reply? Not seven, 70 times seven. And I don't believe that's a specific number either, huh? We would be ones to keep track, wouldn't we? Huh? No, 70 times seven. What if the Lord, what if he looked at us and after seven times said, Jonathan, that's enough. He'd be right and just in doing so, wouldn't he? What if he looked at us and said, seven times 70? Ben, is that 490? I think that is, isn't it? Huh? What if that? We'd all fail, wouldn't we? David wrote this in the Psalms. He said, Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, who should stand? Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Isn't that a good reason? Isn't that a good reminder? To forgive one another. Listen to the words of our Lord. In Matthew 5:43, he said, you've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. I say unto you, now listen to this. This is our Lord speaking. He said, love your enemies. He said, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. He asked this question. He said, if you love them which love you. Now, here in the front row, and several, it's easy to love them. They're my family. I can say that. I believe I can say that about everybody in here. It's easy to love the members of this congregation. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Don't the publicans do the exact same thing? Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God has forgiven us. God has forgiven his people for Christ's sake. Can I say that enough? Can we hear that enough? You know, I was trying to think of an illustration for this. Probably the clearest one that comes to mind, though, is back there in 2 Samuel. Turn with me to 2 Samuel. Second Samuel, chapter 9. Mercy for the sake of another. Here we read of David showing mercy for the sake of another. Huh? Jonathan, he had a son named Mephibosheth who was lame on his feet. He was crippled and likely in hiding down there in Lodabar, in fear that David would come and kill him. You know, it was common in that day for a new king to basically destroy, kill anyone that might challenge his throne. Look at verse 3. We'll go through this quickly. The king said, David's the king. This truly matters who's speaking here. The king speaks, and he said, Is there any of the house of Saul? For what purpose? David's going to show mercy. He's going to show him the kindness of God. That means mercy. What did he find out? Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet, undeserving, unworthy, a poor, crippled man that was lame as a result of a fall. Isn't God's scripture just amazing? Isn't his word? Here's this man. He's an enemy of the king. He's lame as the result of a fall. Isn't that us? Isn't that his people? Verse 5, David sent and he fetched him. He's purposed to show mercy. He sent his servant to go and get him. He didn't send a letter to him and say, Mephibosheth, if you can make it up here, I'll show mercy to you. If you will renounce your grandpa Saul, I'll show mercy to you. So he sent his servant and he fetched him. And his servant called him and he brought him back to David. Look at verse 7. What did David say to him? Fear not. Fear not. Mephibosheth's been brought into the presence of the king. He's an enemy of the king. Obviously, he was afraid. Why else would David tell him not to be afraid? And he fell on his face, and he did reverence. You know, if we are to know anything of God's holiness, who he is, if we're to know anything about our sin and what God's law and justice demands, we'll find our place in right there with him, fallen at his feet, and begging for mercy. Mephibosheth had, in his head, he had every reason to fear, yet he had no reason to be afraid. David's going to show mercy. Scripture says this, the soul that sinneth, that's us, it shall surely die. God is going to punish. Yet here's the message. Fear not. Don't be afraid. How's that possible? How can I, as a sinner, stand before a holy God and hear these words? Fear not. Look at verse 7. David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness. Why? For Jonathan's sake. For the sake of another. Mercy for the sake of another. Mercy for Jonathan's sake. Jonathan, whom David loved. Jonathan, whom, listen, before Mephibosheth was ever born, David made a covenant with Jonathan. Why? Because of his love for him. As a sinner, why can I plead for mercy? Why can I? What's my plea? God's love for his son. It's for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. What happened to Mephibosheth? Did David destroy him as he could have? No. Scripture says this, he ate continually at the king's table. And not as a servant, but as a son, as his own son. Turn with me to one more passage of Scripture here. Psalm 106. Dear brother of mine pointed this out. Psalm 106, verse 8. We're to forgive others. We're to forgive others as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. We're forgiven for the sake of another. Just like we read there of Mephibosheth. And we, again, are forgiven for his name's sake. Saved for his name's sake. Look. You have Psalm 106, verse 8. Start with verse 7. It says, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the Red Sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. Why? For Christ's sake. Why? For his name's sake. You know, verse 7 gives a pretty good picture of us. They remembered not his mercies. The children of Israel. Think about all that they had seen. Think about all the deliverance they had seen. And it says, they provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. How miraculous. I don't think any other word would describe the deliverance of the children of Israel any less than a miracle. Over and over, they seen these things. He delivered them out of Egypt just as he promised, with a mighty hand. Yet they provoked him. Think about that. They provoked him at the Red Sea. What a foolish people. What a forgetful people. Huh? A provoking people. That's us. That's us. Even in the midst of God's deliverance. Yet these are the people that God is pleased to save. They said this. They said, weren't there enough graves in Egypt? Huh? You've taken us out here to die in the wilderness. They murmured. I always thought, which certainly didn't justify their actions, that all that murmur and complaining was when they were standing there at the Red Sea, when they're facing the Red Sea, and here's Pharaoh's mighty army approaching, and here's this sea in front of them. There's no place to go. I thought that's where the murmuring took place, and it did. But in addition to that, in Hebrew, this reads this way, even in the Red Sea. Even in the midst of deliverance. There they stood, a wall of water on each side. God parted the Red Sea. They're walking through on dry ground. They're being delivered. And what are they doing? Murmuring and complaining. They saw something they had never seen before as they walked through there on dry ground. And they continued to rebel. Is that not us? Huh? Yet, for all this, the Lord saved them. Huh? Let me ask you this. Let's be honest. Would you have forgiven them? I can't think of taking our trips, our children on trips, without about to lose my mind about just complaining about maybe one or two things. What about us? Continually. Would you have delivered them? Why in the world he didn't just go ahead and close the water in on them and the Egyptians all at once? Why did he save them? For his name's sake. For Christ's sake. Yeah. Despite all that sin, despite all that rebellion, he saved them for his name's sake. I pray he'd give me a forgiving spirit. And that he would save me for his name's sake. Well, let me close with some final thoughts. I read this last night. He saved them for his name's sake. Do you need wonders wrought? His name is wonderful. Do you need counsel and direction? His name is the Counselor. Do you have mighty enemies? What's his name? He is the Mighty God. Do you need fatherly pity? His name is the Everlasting Father. And as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Do you need peace? I need peace. I desire peace. External peace. Internal peace. Eternal peace. What's his name? It's the Prince of Peace. His name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Maybe you need pardon. His name's Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. Seek him. Seek him for his name's sake. Do you need defense and protection? His name's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner. Seek him. Seek him for his name's sake. That banner of love and grace would just be spread over top of us. Are you in want and need provision? His name is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Do you need his presence? Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. His name is Emmanuel. What's that mean? God with us. Do you need strength? He is the strength of Israel. Do you need shelter? Who is in the Old Testament? He's the city of refuge. My brethren, whatever our need is, whatever our want or need is, he has the name to satisfy. Wisdom to guide, power to keep, mercy to pity you, truth to shield you, holiness to sanctify you, righteousness to justify you, grace to adorn you, and glory to crown you. Trust in him. Trust in him who saves for his name's sake. And be ye kind. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I pray he'd be pleased to bless his word.